Good morning, everybody. We're up to chapter 5 in Nehemiah, and really chapter 5 should have been learned last week, but you will recall that last week was a snow day. And as I said, the truth is, I was thinking of having class Wednesday in the morning until somebody told me that Eged, buses aren't running, so there was no way to do it. I'm talking about last week. And that's why I... That's, of course, that's what happens when you come in late. Okay, so we have to make up the snow day. In chapter 4, what had been described was the way in which the construction of the walls of Yerushalayim took place. They had to defend themselves against the possible attack of an enemy, and the fact is that an attack had already been planned. And the only reason why it didn't take place was because they saw that Nehemiah had prepared the builders of the walls to be not only the builders but also to be the defenders. And he describes how they would build with one hand and hold a weapon in the other hand. He even described the extent to which the work continued, the pace. They didn't undress. They remained in the same clothing for days on end because they had to be ready at any moment. And it seems that they went, as long as it's possible to go without sleep, they went without sleep. But there was a tremendous effort of the Siris Nefesh with which to build the walls of Yerushalayim. Now we're going to get back in the next chapter, that is in chapter 6, Vav, we're going to get back to the completion of the construction of the wall. But in Nehemiah has to deal not only with problems of security and construction, but there is a social and an economic problem that cries out for his attention. And here we have it in chapter 5. I mean, if we are saying throughout that the problems that face those who return from Bavel, similar to the problems that face the modern state of Israel in the course of the past 50 years, we're going to see, if we've dealt up until now with the security problem, now we will deal with the social problem. The cry of the people, the masses. And when we say masses, it has to be taken within its context. We're not talking about a caste of tens of thousands, but whoever, whatever number of people were in the city and their wives, the cry that came up from them was Gedolah, were great. El Acheihem HaYehudim. El Acheim Ayehudim means here because of their brothers Jews. There was extreme economic and social inequality. Viesh, and now what is going to be described are the different complaints or the different problems that were being suffered by that the people were suffering from. Viesh Hasher Omrin, there are those who said, meaning that they cried out, Boneinu uvedoteinu, anachnu rabim. Our sons and our daughters, anachnu rabim. Now, the word rabim here has a number of meanings. They are many. That's a simple meaning of the word rabim. The Malbim learns that the word rabim over here comes from the word ribis. That we are being... We're falling under the burden of interest that we are paying on loans. They couldn't support themselves, so they had to take loans. The nikcha dagon, we have to purchase grain, v'nochlo v'nichya, so that we can eat and live. So there were those who were complaining about the fact that we've had to take heavy loans. We don't have any more money. V'yesh asher omrim, and there are those who said, Sdotenu, uchramenu, ubatenu, anachnu orvim. Our fields, our vineyards, our homes, they have become the guarantees for the loans that we have taken. In other words, we sold them already. We don't have anything. In other words, the first group are talking about the future. We need to get money for the future. There are those who are saying that whatever assets we already had, we have already, they have been mortgaged away already. So how are we going to now, we have to be able to purchase grain in this famine. And then there are those who complain to Nehemiah, Lavinu Kesef, we borrowed money, Limidat HaMelech. Midah over here is similar to a word that we had in Ezra a number of times, Mindah. Mindah being a tax. We borrowed money in order to pay the taxation of the king. And in order to borrow that, we sold Sdoteinu Uchrameinu, our fields and our vineyards. Vi'ata. I have a feeling like I'm listening to Shylock now. Kibisarachenu besorenu. Our flesh is just as good as the flesh of our brothers. Kibinehem banenu. Our children are like their children. But our economic situation is such that we've had to conduct ourselves with our children in a completely different way. The word kovshim usually means to conquer, but it also means to press into service our sons and our daughters as slaves. And in some cases it was not done by us, but our daughters have been pressed into servitude, and we don't have the power to do anything about it. And our fields and our vineyards have been given to others. We're talking about a severe economic crisis. And the economic crisis, of course, expresses itself in different social strata. And we're talking about a population, and it's a small population. It's a relatively small population that are trying to build a country, and the situation is a terrible situation. And they tell this to Nehemiah. Vayichalo ma'od. He was very angry. Vayichali ma'od. It made me very angry. Nehemiah is saying how he felt about it. Kasha shamati et zakatam. When I heard that cry, that hadvarim ha'elim, these words, when I heard all of this, it upset me terribly. Vayimalech libi alai. Vayimalech libi, beautiful, beautiful word, and it has a number of meanings. Vayimalech libi alai, usually the word lihiyot nimlach means to take counsel. Lihimalech, there's a famous, Rashi in Parshat Yitro where Yitro tells Moshe, check with God. Yitro is giving advice to Moshe how to establish a system of judges. So I remember as a kid, this is one of the Rashis that we were, somebody would ask you, read this Rashi. It's three words. Say, Himalech Bigvura. Usually as kids, we would always read it, Say Hamelech Bigvura. King, go out with greatness. There has no meaning there. Sehi Malech means ask Bigvura, take counsel with God Almighty. So Vayimalech Libi Alai first of all comes from the word Lihi Malech, and that's how Rashi learns it. Vayivoet Libi Batzmi, says Rashi, my heart took counsel with myself. First, I thought about it. I'm very angry. What it really means is he's counting to 10. He does not want to break out in an outburst, and therefore he may not be able to, he won't say the right things or do the right things. He's faced with a terrible, terrible problem. Hashan and Achav, and he's going to express very, very clearly what a shame and what an embarrassment it is that Jew, in a sense, is enslaving fellow Jew. Jew is Jewing fellow Jew. The verb to Jew is to that verb, but it appears in the dictionary. Jews are conducting themselves in a terrible, terrible way toward their fellow Jews. Yes?
The population that was being enslaved could be assumed as being a population that came with Petra rather than the Jews that were living in
Israel. There's no differentiation. In other words, there's a total population living in Eretz Israel. The Svivat Yerushalayim we're going to see later in the third chapter from here, that there are close to 45,000 people there. And in these 45,000 people, as always, there are wealthy Jews. There are wealthy Jews, people of power and money. There are always people that know how to make money. You understand? What difference does it make? It doesn't make any difference. He doesn't differentiate between who they are. He doesn't differentiate. From amongst the Jews that are in Yerushalayim and vicinity, which is the total of the Jewish settlement, there are those who are conducting themselves in an extremely unbrotherly way. Why did you want to differentiate? Why should they, if it doesn't say?
I'm thinking in terms of what's happening in our days as well, whether it be a woman, say the Western Ethiopia, whatever. In other words, like they came with nothing, the people that were there were established, and in other words, it was just a reaction, a series of integration, whatever.
No, but you have to remember that when the original Palestine came, they had famines and they had to have a minister in charge of rationing. So this is more like the beginning of the Zionist Aliyot than it is like today.
I don't know.
No,
but this is already not a matter of integration. They may very well have been integrated, but economically they aren't. In other words, are homeless? I mean, yes, Lana, we have. We don't have as many as New York, most probably. But there are people are homeless. People. Al-Fakim was in the unemployed. Remember, we're dealing, of course, already with a welfare state. I mean, there's unemployment insurance, there's Social Security. We're talking about, and by the way, it makes a big difference. I'm still trying to find out. The fact is, people who give miser, if you give a tenth of your income to tzedakah, you can deduct from that tenth a certain percentage of your income tax in this country. Because your income tax in this country, there's a significant sum of that income tax that goes for social welfare. It goes to the poor. It goes to Torah institutions, right? Which means that your taxes, not so taxes in the United States, but taxes here, there certainly is a percentage that can be deducted because you're giving stock. In other words, taxation here is the fulfillment of the mitzvah of stock. And therefore, if it's a fulfillment of that mitzvah, there's a maisek sofim that it can be deducted from the tenth that's supposed to be given. But there was no welfare system that had yet been established. In other words, they had to do it. Just as I don't believe they had it until in the early years of the state, until they got a whole system. It was a very poor country. But I have a feeling that there were always the upper strata. Economic strata, and here never. Nehemiah is that they are minatzlim. They are taking advantage of the lower classes. The Malbim says on the word vayimalech that we have already said. Rashi says I took counsel with myself. He says one. Vayimalech libi alai, my heart became king over me. I was ready to burst out with great anger, but you know what I did? There was, in a sense, a surge of royalty that went through my heart, and I understood what I can do and what I can't do, and that I have to be dignified in the way in which I'm going to deal with this situation, and the way in which I'm going to confront those who are unfortunately dealing so terribly with their brothers. So he says, he divides it into two pshatim. One is, I conducted myself with malchus. I conducted myself in royal fashion. I didn't begin arguing with them like a fell in the street. I conducted myself royally. And the second he says, Vayimalech libi, that my heart became king, and therefore I controlled myself. Vayimalech libi alai va'oriva et hachovim ve'et hasganim, and I contended with the royalty, or the upper classes and the officers of the realm, va'omro lahem, and I said to them, Masha ish ba'achiv atem noshin. This is from the word noshe. Noshe is somebody who demands payment. A noshe being one who demands payment. Say they collected money that was owed to them, regardless of what the circumstances were, and they were noshin. For at pain alehem kihilo gedola, what I did was I brought against them, as a result of the word went out that there is difficulty between Nehemiah and the upper classes, and people began to join. A lot of people became part of this to watch and listen what is happening. For amra lehem, and I said to them, anachnu kaninu. He's saying like this, we, over the years, we've paid money in order to redeem our fellow Jews from the hands of Goyim. For what? So that we should turn around and enslave them ourselves? I said to them, we purchased our brothers, Jews, who were sold to the Goyim, Kedei Banu, with as much as we had. As much money as we had, we used Pidyon Shvuyim to redeem. Redeem those who are taken captive is one of the great mitzvahs. So here we went ahead, and we spent a lot of money in order to redeem Jews who were in the hands of Goyim. The Gam Atem Timkeru Et Acheichem V'Nimkeru Lanu. So what are you going to go ahead and do? You're going to sell your own brothers, and then we're going to have to buy them back. Vayacharishu. They remained silent. Below Matsu Dava, they couldn't find a word to say before this verbal onslaught of Nehemiah. What is there to say? We demand of the nations of the world to treat us justly and fairly, and then people turn around and don't deal honestly with their fellow Jews. And unfortunately, there are a lot of sad examples of this during the course of the last 50 years. Yes? Yeah. Well, so it's quite obvious from the cry of the people that it was abused. Of course it was abused. The fact is that this abuse had already begun in the days of Yirmiyahu. I think it's chapter 34 or 35 in Yirmiyahu, where Yirmiyahu tells the people of Yerushalayim, send your slaves free. Jews were enslaving fellow Jews. And by the way, it can be understood also in other terms. It doesn't have to be slavery. But if you pay somebody slave labor wages, if you pay them below the minimum wage, and there's a better word, lenatzel means to take advantage. Is that what we use to take advantage? Yet you can take advantage of people in all sorts of ways. And you think that there isn't taking advantage that takes place right now? Any form of taking advantage of a fellow Jew is criminal. Is criminal. Yes?
The oppression of the workers.
Oh, no, oppression of the workers was the term that was used by communism. when communism, they were going to bring the great revolution, and they're going to correct the oppression of the workers.
The point is that this was a reaction to the oppression of the working people in the late 19th century.
Right. I mean, there was child labor. I mean, you had to. The fact is, I just was going to say that. In many parts of the world, it still exists. It still exists. What are you talking about? Clinton over there is going through Africa, and he's finally on the stand. He's asking Mechila from Africa. This guy is. The Sahagoya Tzadik, I understand. He's asking Mechila. I think it's very beautiful that he's asking Mechila, because the fact is, the white man, what was the white man's burden? That's how they looked upon Africa. But the truth is that the same kind of taking advantage happens in every society. It's clear that here it was exaggerated, especially when we're talking about a people that are in the process of building a nation. Vayomer va'omer, and I said, Lo tov hadavar asher atem osim. This, I think, is one of the great understatements of Tanakh. Lo tov hadavar, it's not good. Who else said Lo tov hadavar? We talked about it once. Not asher atem osim. I said who? Yitro says it to Moshe. Lo tov hadavar asher ata oseh. It's not good what you are doing. Novo tibo gam ata v'gam kolom. Lo tov hadavar asher ata mosim. Halo biyirat elokeinu teilechu. You have to go with fear of God. Mecherpat hagoyim oyevenu. And he says two things. First of all, you have to have yirat shemayim. And if you have fear of God, you'll never be able to treat your fellow Jew that way. And second, there's the shunder, the embarrassment of the goyim who are around us that are going to say, take a look how Jews are treating fellow Jews. Hashanda, it's an embarrassment, a shame for the whole world. And then he says even more, don't think that I am demanding something of you that I don't practice myself. So you should know, v'gamani, achai una'orai, also I, and my brothers, and the people who work with me, noshim b'hem, Kesef and Dagon. We also have debts that they owe us of money and grain. And Nazva Noet Hamasho Hazeh. What I'm asking of you is leave these claims and demands. Be meichel all of the claims. All of the financial demands that you have, Nazvona, let's forget it. Hashivu Nalahem Kahayom. And not only that, not only should there be, in other words, he's talking about a general amnesty, and it's like a Shemitah year, that all loans become null and void. And not only is it like a Shemitah year, he's going to make it even like a Yovel year, because in the next pasuk he says, Hashivu nolehem kahayom, return to them today, Sidotehem, Karmehem, Zeitehem, Ubatehem. Isn't that what was done in the Yovel year? That all fields and lands went back to their original owners? It says, give them back today their fields, their vineyards, their olives, and their homes. And by the way, what's terribly important over here, and I would imagine, I mean, I'm not saying this from the Mepharshim, these are the ideas that are going through my mind. In Yirmiyahu, not only does it say that they enslaved their fellow Jews, and there's the whole perek over there. I think that perek in Yirmiyahu is the perek that we said for the Haftorah of Parashas Mishpatim, where they enter into a covenant with God to free all of their Hebrew slaves. And then they back out on it afterwards. They take them back. And Yirmiyahu there says, in the name of God, Korati Brit et Avoteichem, I made a covenant with your fathers, Biyom Hotzi Otam Me'eretz Mitzrayim, the day that I took them out of Egypt, I made a covenant with them, the Shelo Yavdu Ish Ba'achim, that no man shall enslave his brother. So we see that Churban, one of the reasons why Bayit Rishon was Chareb was because Jews had enslaved fellow Jews. But there was another main reason. One that is brought in the Torah itself in Parashat Tchukotai. In Parashat Tchukotai it says that the Churban is going to come, and the number 70 is because Jews had not kept years of Shemitah and Yovel. There were 70 years of Shemitah and Yovel that they hadn't kept, and therefore they're going to go into exile for 70 years, and lots of Sahadas until the earth is going to, in a sense, be forgive the fact that you did not keep Shemitah and Yovel. So I'm saying, in a sense, what he's telling them over here is, you're making the same mistakes again. Yirmiyahu already spoke about enslaving your fellow Jews. Torah already said.
Lamed Dalet.
Lamed Dalet. So I think I said, what did I say? I said Lamed Gimel, Lamed Hay. No, I said Lamed Gimel, Lamed Hay. So what I meant was that it's in between Lamed Gimel and Lamed Hay. It's all right. I get sort of the picture, like, all right, we're going to make our own Yovel. Give them back their lands. Give them back their fields. Uma'at ha-kesef. Ma'at means, here over here, the ma'at, mem aleph tov, means the measure or the amount of money, and dogon tidosh and yitzah, the wheat, the wine, and the oil, asher atem noshim behem, that you demand of them. Forget about it. Give them back any money that you have taken for them. From them. By Yomer, when they said, Noshiv, we're going to return the money we took from them, Umehem Lonavakesh, and we're not going to ask of them repayment for that which they owe us. Kein Na'aseh, so we shall do, Kasher Ata Omer, as you say. V'ekroat HaKohanim, and I called the Kohanim, V'ashbi'ein. You know, they went through the process of an oath. In the presence of the Kohanim, an oath was taken, La'asot ha'davar hazeh, to do this thing as they had said.
Why now, why couldn't it be Kohanim? Why couldn't it be a Hebron or a Ben? Why Kohanim?
Before you ask the question, I was getting to say the next two words were going to be the Malbim. The Malbim says, why the Kohanim? Good the Kasha. Good the Kasha. I mean, it could have been in front of a justice of the peace. It could have been in the presence of Gedolei Yisrael. It could have been the Sanhedrin. So he says, because an oath we find in Torah in the presence of the Kohen, a woman whose husband suspects her of having been unfaithful, an Isha Sota. So there the Torah says that the Kohen has to be Mashbia. The Kohen is the one who administers the oath. One may say that in a sense there is, the similarity over here is the fact that the way they have dealt with their fellow Jews, they were being unfaithful to their fellow Jews and to their community. So in a sense, he also wants to leave the impression that just as by Sota there is a curse if one is not going to keep the oath. He makes them take an oath that they're not going to demand any payment from the poor, and that they're going to return everything that they have. Gam chotzni no'arti. And then he, chotzni no'arti, I dusted off my clothing, or, according to some of the Mepharshim, like I emptied my pockets. You know what I would like you to imagine now? Tashlich. Yeah, I get the yid by tashlich, you understand? No, you empty your pockets and throw the averis into the water. She says, I dusted off my clothing for Omra, and I said, like sort of a removal of everything that's there. So God should sweep away any man who is not going to fulfill what we have said here. What should God empty of? All of his possessions. His house and Yegio, everything that he earned as a result of his toil. The kochogiyya, so he shall be, no ur v'reik, dusted out and empty. Vayonu kol hakohol, amen, and the entire community said, amen, so shall it be. Vayahalul et Hashem, so that here also the Malbim says, they did it with joy. Hallel always represents the idea of joy and happiness. They didn't do it sort of under the coercion of Nehemiah alone. It may have been that the coercion of Nehemiah was that which sort of brought them to their senses, but when they finally decided that they were going to correct the social and economic evils that they had done, by Yahweh Hashem, they praised God, Vayas ha'om kadovar hazeh, and the people did that thing, that which they had the had decided. The Malbim goes a little further. He says the following, Vayahalu vayasu. He says, you see how the word, vayas. No, it says vayahalu, and then vayas. You know, they praised, and they did. He sees it, in a sense, as the bracha that one says before the fulfillment of a mitzvah, before you do a mitzvah. So he says, Shasu b'simcha, they did it with joy, ukemekaye mitzvah, like one who fulfills a mitzvah, shemevarech tchila birchat hamitzvah, that at first, before you fulfill the mitzvah, you say birchat hamitzvah. Upokimu, here they fulfill two mitzvahs, the mitzvah of tzedakah, v'hashavas he'avot, tzedakah, and returning that which they held as a guarantee for the loans. And then in parentheses, or in brackets, he says, "Uparachokru rabim v'chem shleimim im yesh levorer kishimekayim mitzvahs ke'ele." He once let us know that he is not unaware of the fact that there's a great deal, a great discussion in halacha whether you make a bracha on these kind of mitzvahs. A great deal is written about it. In other words, we don't make a bracha on the mitzvah of tzedakah. One of the answers, one of the Rishonim says that the Ragba says that the reason why we don't make a bracha on the mitzvah of tzedakah is because the mitzvah of, you only make a bracha on a mitzvah that is totally in your hands. It's not dependent on anybody else. I make a bracha on a mitzvah that I fulfilled completely and totally from beginning to end. But a mitzvah that is dependent upon somebody else, it is a mitzvah that we, you don't say a bracha. I have a feeling that the Malbim here is saying that that we knew already what everybody else wanted. In other words, it wasn't in that sense a mitzvah that was sort of hanging in abeyance, that we don't know whether it will be fulfilled or it won't be fulfilled. So, Vayahalul with Hashem. Vayas ha'am kadav razeh.
We look at the word vayas like vayikan, that they were together in one thing, the amechad, like the wave of God, vayas.
I think you're absolutely right. What she's saying is the following, and especially in view of the fact that over here, first phrase is plural, and then the plural turns into a singular. Vayahalulu et Hashem, they praise God, and then vayasa on kadovar azeh, the people did, singular. And I believe the reason is the following. Because in terms of what they did, everybody did the same thing. They gave back any mashkin, any guarantee or pledge that they were, any collateral that they were holding. They forgave the loans. But when it comes to saying a bracha or simcha in the heart, never the same. Everybody has their own level. Emotions differ from one person to the next. Differ from one person to the next. Only in unusual circumstances, and the one that comes to mind is, Oz Yoshir Moshe Uvenei Yisrael Es Hashira Azos Hashem, there was a unity, there was a oneness in their song. But otherwise, to praise God is always an extremely individual thing. Everybody does it in their own way. Gan. מיום אשר ציווה אותי להיות פחם בארץ יהודה, בשנת 20 עד שנת 32 לתרשס המלך, שנים 12, אני ואחי לחם הפחה לא אכלתי.
This pasuk he says during the entire period of time that I have served as governor of Yehuda, I did not eat, I did not benefit from the taxes that are supposed to be given to the governor. The expenses of his own house or court was something that Nehemiah carried himself. He didn't take from the people. So he says, from the day that he commanded me to be governor over the land of Yehuda, from the 20th year until the 32nd year of our Arkashasta, the king, which is a period of 12 years, I and my brothers, lechem hapecha lo achalti, the bread that's supposed to go to the governor, we didn't eat. The hapecha torishonim ha-shelefonai, earlier governors who came before me, hichbidu al ha'am, they ruled. They made things heavy upon the people. Vayikhu mehem, they took from them the lechem, the yayin, achar kesef, shkolim, arboim, they took from them for bread and for wine. Achar, after they had already taken with what seems was the yearly taxation, 40 shekel. 40 shekels, a lot of 40 shekels of silver was the yearly tax, and in addition to that, they took lechem and yayin. Gamareim shaltu al ha'am, also their servants ruled over the people. There was a very difficult for us. Yeah, I take that back. I was going to say it's very difficult for us to understand, but the truth is it's not. I think we've experienced it. I think that we have experienced it ourselves. It can be an employer. A Jewish employer can be very unsympathetic to his Jewish employee. I mean, it happens. It happens. We know that. And I've never been able. I can't watch when they show police beating or dragging Jews here, there. I mean, I experienced it myself. I can't, for the life of me, understand how they do it. Or you know. Even some of the stories lately about the torturing Jewish prisoners. And I'm torn. On the one hand, listen, if there are criminals, we have to find out about it, and we have to do something about it. And I don't know. I don't know whether torture is permitted on the halacha. I have to study it. I don't know. It depends, of course, to what extent is the community at risk because of them. Pikuach nefesh, I don't know. But whatever it is, it's extremely painful. But we see it. It's extremely, extremely painful. But you see it. Mm-hmm. Yes?
What's the saying that here? I mean, brings to mind Moshe and Shua, when they said, I didn't touch anything from the people, they didn't eat anything.
Mamish brings that to mind.
Now, the thing is, why does it come after the people did everything okay, and they were happy? Why does it have to come, Mr. Daniel, that should have come before, that the people did what he asked them to do,
but
they
and they all did it to us. Says the Malbim. You're doing very well. No, he doesn't ask the question that way, but obviously what he says will answer your question. One of the reasons why Nehemiah was able to accomplish what he did is because everybody knew the extent to which he was, in his own conduct, exemplary. The wealthy, what's the first thing you try and do? Right? Somebody is starting up with the prime minister or with the president. You know, the first thing you do is you go find out all the dirt that you can on that. Right? And then, of course, that's number one. I mean, he's not a tzaddik and she's not a tzaddikis, right? That's the way in which you undermine a person. This is number one. I mean, Any lowlife will tell you that immediately. Over here, Nehemiah was absolutely clean, and they knew it. They not only clean, he conducted himself in such an exemplary manner that there was nobody who could say anything to him. What were they going to do? They were going to turn around and say, you're telling us to do such and such, and you have been taxing the people for the last 12 years beyond their ability. He was absolutely clean. And therefore, there was no choice but to follow what he said. Vani lo asiti kein. I didn't do it that way. And you know why I didn't do it that way? Mipnei yirat Elokim, because of fear of God.
Why is it for fear, not before, when they did?
I imagine because right over here it says that he accomplished it all. And how did he accomplish it all? Remember, it's not putting it. He's writing it. This is written in first person. Nehemiah is writing it. So Nehemiah is saying, after everything is accomplished, he's telling us, do you know why it was accomplished? Or one of the reasons why it was accomplished? Because they couldn't find any fault with me. That's the problem. He's writing it. So it's not a matter that he has to write it in a way that's going to set the stage for anything. He's just telling you the fact that this is the way it happened. Not only didn't I didn't use the taxes for myself. Not only did I pay for everything in my own court from my own money in the work of the wall hazot hechazakti that I strengthened. The sada lo kaninu. Now I paid my share for the construction of the wall, and fields we didn't buy. I or my family didn't buy up the fields of fellow Jews. Most probably there were periods of time because the economy was that bad, it was possible to pick up land cheap. Because people were ready to sell. There was no great aliyah coming. There was no great aliyah coming. So what could one accomplish with the land? And people needed money. We didn't buy fields. The Chol Na'arai and all of my young people or the people who worked for me, Kivutzim Sham Al Hamalacha, were gathered together there to do the work together with everybody else. We didn't take any deferments or exemptions. We were there working shoulder to shoulder with everybody else. We carried the full burden just like anybody else. Vahayudim Vahasagonim Me'er Vahamishim Ish. The Jews who were the officers of the various areas, there were 150, and those who came to us from the nations of the world, they were visitors. You know, the Secretary General of the UN would come. I mean, there were people who visited. And so he says, when they visited, all of the visitors and all of the officers ate al shulchani on my table. I paid for that. And then he says, do you know what the expenses, what he had to pay for in his house? He provided food for a lot of people. In one day, Shorechav, one ox, Tzon Sheish Brurot, six Shepsalach. Brurot means chosen one, seven good, six good Shepsalach. Vitziporim, fowl, he doesn't give a number of fowl, it may have been a lot of fowl. Na'asuli were made for me. Ubein aseret yomim b'chol, yayin laharbei. And this is an interesting possibility. Rashi says that every day they would drink the amount that other people drink in 10 days. I difficulty with the Rashi. The Malbim says that every ten days Nehemiah would fast. So they would eat and drink. And he's talking about regular meals for 10 days, and then he'd fast.
Wouldn't
drink either? I don't know, so he says.
Pray healthy.
Well, it depends, of course, on how much you ate during the 10 days that you ate. The inn's there. Despite the fact that I had such big expenses and I had to maintain such a household because of people who were coming to me, and they were coming to me not because of me, but they were coming on government business, lechem hapecho lo mikashti. I didn't ask for the bread that usually should be given to the governor. Ki kavda ha'avoda al ha'omazeh, because the work was so heavy a burden upon these people, they couldn't carry the burden of any added taxation. I didn't want to take from them for me. Zochro le'elokai l'tova. We've pointed out already a number of times that in the middle, out of nowhere, he also expresses himself in prayer to God. Zorcho li elokai letova, remember me, God, for good. Kol asher asiti al ha'am hazeh, everything that I did for this people. If you have a feeling that Nehemiah has gone a little bit too far, I mean, I don't want to say about Nehemiah, but my kids make fun of me, you know, sometimes, you know, that I'll break my arm patting myself on the back. You know, how much? And here ultimately he reaches the point where he turns to the Rebbeinu and he says, Zachro li elokai letova, remember me, God, for good, everything that I've done for this people. It was going a little too much. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, and this is terribly important, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, because of this, there was a lack of modesty involved in this. You know, there's an extent to which we have to know how he conducted himself. We have to know how he conducted himself so that others after him should know how to conduct themselves. And that therefore he was able to accomplish what he did because he personally was beyond reproach. But it was going a little too far when he said, Zachro li Rebbeinu, remember this, Letova, everything that I did for this people. So the Gemara says, because of this, Chazal went ahead and they did not name a sefer Nehemiah. But there's no book called Nehemiah. And we pointed this out a number of times in the past. If you're going to count up the 24 Kisvei HaKodesh, the 24 holy writings, and you're going to count Ezra and Nehemiah separately, you're going to end up with 25. And if you're going to count Malachim Aleph and Malachim Beis, you're going to have 26. And you're going to take Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Beis, you're going to have 27. And Divrei Hayom Aleph and Divrei Hayom Beis, you're going to have 28. But Treyasa are counted as one. All the Treyasa are one. The 12 minor prophets are considered one sefer. So Chazal pointedly, because of this pasuk, did not name a sefer. Anshei Knesset HaGdolah didn't name a sefer Nehemiah. In Gemara, very often, when the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Nehemiah, Rashi says, "Besefer Ezra k'tiv." It's written in Ezra. It's possible already that by the time of Rashi, there were those who have divided the sefer into two parts, into Ezra and Nehemiah. But according to our Mesorah, there are no two Svarim, Ezra and Nehemiah. Daniel is a sefer of its own. Well, you're going to try and figure them out? You can do this in the middle of class? And maybe she should knit with the other hand. Can you chew gum also?
Yeah.
All right. So let's see. Let's do it quickly. Chamisha Chumshi Torah is 5. All right, what are you going to write after Chamisha Chumshi Torah? Reishis Shemos Vayikra Bamidbar Devar Yoshua Shoftim Shmuel Malachim Yeshayahu Yirmiyahu Yecheskel. How many we have? Treyasar. Before we get there, Tehillim Mishlei Iyov. The five Megillot. Each one is separate. Echa, Shirashirim, Ruth, Kohelet, Esther. Divrei Hayamim. Ezra. Daniel, Ezra.
No,
it's 21.
We have
got the
answer.
Just one more. Three more. Yeah, that's 13. Daniel has one, Ezra and Kandi are one together. Okay. So how many do we have? 24?
Well, 25 because it's separate.
Well, you have 24. That's what you should have. You should have 24. Is there anything we left out? We have everything. Now, the big question, of course, is how many people can tell me the Trey Osa Nevi'im, and I'm not going to ask you to do it in order.
All 12?
No. No, just give me 11. I said Treyasar.
Where is the name Treyasar?
Treyasar is 12. Trey is Aramaic.
For
two. That's right, Shtemasre. Trey is two. Ashtemasre is 11, yes. But Treyasar, yes. That's Aramaic. Okay, who's ready to do that? Hosea, Amos. They're already not in order. Micha. Avadia.
Yonah.
Habakkuk.
Yoel.
Nachum. That's one that's usually forgotten. Svanya. Chagai. Zechariah. Malachi. 12. That's exactly what you should have done. That's exactly what you should have done.
Exactly.
That's it. I remember, you know, I think even in college, I was able to list the signers of the Declaration of Independence when we broke away from England. You know, the colonies, the 13 colonies. I was able to.
The streets of West Ham for the president.
No, that's the President Street. But Wilson, Lee, Rodney, Ross, Key, Clymer, Williamsburg, the streets in Williamsburg are the signers of the Declaration of Independence. And people were amazed, how did this man was Clymer, Taylor, Mace, I knew them all. So that's exactly what you should have done. The only thing is you may forget a little side street. But if
Washington?
What about Washington? If there is no Washington Street in Williamsburg, then he didn't sign. there is a Hancock Street still. It's down toward the end. There's Hancock and there's Rutledge. Rutledge? You never heard of Rutledge?
What about Grant?
Huh? Grant was a president 100 years later. Listen, we're not talking about... That's Grand on the Lower East Side. Grant was a president 100 years later. I don't understand. I mean, like saying that Sir Wilfrid Laurier or Mackenzie King signed on the Magna Carta. Okay? All right. There you go. Okay, but that's the way. The only thing is you may forget, most people don't know Ovadia, because Ovadia is a... And it's a very, it's the smallest street in Geula. I think four houses are all you have on Ovadia. It's a little street that doesn't deserve more than that. But then again, of course, you have Yecheskel is a big street, Yirmiyahu is a big street, Yeshayahu is the street coming up from Kikar Shabbat all the way to Yafo. Right? You have them all. All right. But it's terribly important that Chazal did not name a sefer Nehemiah. So they're really Ezra and Nehemiah are all one sefer according to the Masoret. Let's go a little further. We have to make up for the snow. Because here in this parak they're going to be terribly... very, very painful things are going to be said here, and we have experienced and continue to experience them all. When Sambalat and Tovia and Geshem Ha'arvi and the rest of our enemies heard, that I built the wall, v'lo notar bo poretz, and there was no breach left in the wall, gam ad ha'et ha'hi, but even when I had completed the wall, even at that time, Dlatot lo he'emadati bashadim, the gates were built, but there were no doors. There were no shadim in the. There were no doors. Dlatot lo he'emadati bashadim. Vayishlach Sambalat and Geshem elai leimor. Sambalat and Geshem sent to me saying, L'chovni vo'ado yachdov. Let us gather together. Let's have a ve'idah. In other words, he knows that these are enemies who planned a sneak attack, and he became aware of it, and therefore he put all of his men around the walls, Bekonanud Gavoha, and that's the only thing that stopped it. He knows that they're enemies, and the enemies want to meet with him. He knows already. He does not trust them. They are thinking to do evil to me. And I sent messengers to them saying, I'm doing big work, and I can't come down to meet you. I'm just too busy. Why should I stop the work? When I let go of it, I'm not there. Because I'm going to go down to you, and because of that, I'm not going to continue the work. It's the name of a place. We're not certain precisely where it is. They sent a message of this sort to me four times. And I gave them the same reply four times. It sort of seems as though they are extending a hand of, no, let's talk about it. Let's negotiate. You don't always go when you're called for negotiation. You have to know who you're negotiating with. Sambalat sent same thing a fifth time with his servant, and there is an open letter in his hand. By open letter, what he means is he doesn't mind if this is going to be leaked to the press. He wants the contents of this letter to be known. And watch the contents of this letter. Katuvba. What's written in the letter is the following. Bagoyim nishma v'gashmu omer. It has been heard amongst the nations, the word is out, and Gashmu is one of his people. He says it. In other words, if the word is out, one of my people, in other words, we're not talking about a senior official of the government, but there's somebody with a name who is saying it. And you know what they're saying? Atov Yehudim Choshvim Limrod. You and the Yehudim, you're planning to rebel. Al Kenatav Boneh HaChoma. That's why you're building the wall. Va'atov Elohem LeMelech. You want to be king. Kadvarim Ha'Elah. These are the words that were written in the letter, and that's what Gashmu was saying. He knows for a fact. He knows for a fact that Nehemiah is planning to rebel and have himself anointed as king. You also have appointed Nevi'im. Now the word Nevi'im over here does not necessarily have to be understood as prophet, as we usually understand. The word Nevi'im comes from the term Nivsvatayim, the words of the lips. He had spokesmen. There were spokesmen you have established to call out in Yerushalayim saying, Melech b'Yehuda, there is a king in Yehuda. Va'ato yishama la'melech. And now everybody has to listen to the king. And katvarim ha'elah, these are the words that we've heard are being prepared to say. Va'ato now, l'cho, let's go v'nivu atzo yachdav, and we're going to sit down together at a meeting. Now, what he's done is, he's threatening. He is blackmailing him. He's really telling him, if you don't sit down to negotiate with us, we're going to make sure that this becomes known to the king in Shushan, that an act of rebellion, you're planning to rebel. V'esh l'choy lov le'mor, and I sent to him saying, lo nia katvorim ha'ela asher ato omer. There never was and there never will be like these words that you are saying. You're making them up from your own heart. You've made it all up. It's all sheker. Everybody wants to frighten us, saying, so that their hands will become weak from doing the work, and it shall not be done. Chazek et yadai. No. So he says, huh? That's one possibility. That he's talking to the bench of chazek et yadai. Or, what's really the pshat is, he's saying this in the letter to Sanballat. What do you want? You're frightening me, so what am I going to come to the meeting for? At the meeting, you're going to strengthen my hand in what I have undertaken to do? Certainly not! So what am I going to come for? What am I going to come? Tani Pati, then Nehemiah says, I came to the house of Shmaya ben Deloya ben Mehetav El, Vahu Atsur. Atsur means, doesn't mean he was arrested, but he was in his house. And for some reason, he planned on remaining in his house. Vayomer, and this fellow, Shmaya, said, Nivoed el Beit Elokim el Toch HaHeichal, let us meet in the house of God, in the Heichal. The Heichal is the structure of the Beit HaMikdash itself, the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, v'nizgirot al Toch HaHeichal, and we will close the doors of the Beit HaMikdash. Keep ba'im lahar gecha, because they're coming to kill you. The Laila at night, ba'im lahar gecha, they're coming to kill you. This fellow Shmaya is Jewish, and he is in the employ of Sanballat. He's betraying his people. He has taken the side of the enemy. And what he's advising Nehemiah to do now is, for your own protection, you had better get thee to the house of God and lock the doors behind you, because they're coming to kill you. Va'omra, so I said to Shmaya, Ha'ish kamoni yivrach, a man like me is going to flee? Umi kamoni ashiyavol ha'echol v'chai, and then a man like me, I'm going to go into the Heichal. The Heichal is the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. I'm going to go in there for my own protection, you understand? I'm going to go in there and I will live after that. Lo avol, I'm not going to do it. Vo akira, and I understood, I recognized. V'ini lo lekim shlacho, God did not send him. He is a false prophet because of what he told him to do. And because there's a contradiction in what Shmaya is saying. On the one hand, Shmaya is saying he's going to be king. Now, if he's going to be king, a prophecy for good must always be fulfilled. Now he's turning around and he's telling him, flee, run for your life, and lock yourself into the Beit HaMikdash because they're coming to kill you. So he knows that Shmaya is a false prophet. Ki hanevuah diber elai, because he was the one who said the prophecy about me that I'm going to be king. And now he tells me, go hide, flee. And then I knew that the Toviyah, the Sanballat, Zecharo, Toviyah and Sanballat hired him. Jews were ready, and indeed were betrayed fellow Jews. So what's new? My wife goes with the women in green to demonstrate against Robin Cook, And Yossi Sarid and Naomi Chazan are there Yael Dayan are there demonstrating that Jews should not build in Yerushalayim. What does Shmaya want? Shmaya wants that they shouldn't construct in Yerushalayim, they shouldn't complete the walls, they shouldn't put on. He wants to stop the work, that's it. And he's been paid. Leman Socharu. Because he was hired. And what was he hired for? Liman Ira, so that I should be frightened. Ve'eseh Kenan, I should do so. I should go hide myself in the Beis HaMikdash. Ve'chatasi, and I will have sinned. Ve'hoyo lahem l'shemra. And you know what that's going to be? They're going to use this as an evil report about me. Your big hero, Nehemiah, the builder of Yerushalayim, is hiding out in the Beit HaMikdash of all places, Shaman, Lema'an Yechorfuni, in order that they should be able to shame and embarrass me. One, two, only three. Three times Lema'an in this pasuk. He does it because he's been hired, he does it because he wants me to be afraid, and he wants to be able to embarrass me. Zachra Elokai Letovia Ula Sanballat Kemasav Ela. Let God remember for Tovia and Sanballat that which they did. For Gamla no Adya Hanevia, not Nadia, no Adya Hanevia. The prophetess, there was a prophetess, a false prophetess by the name of No Adya. Uliyetar Hanevim, and the other prophets, Asher Hoyumi Yadim Oti, who tried to frighten me. By the way, a prophet, in a very real sense, can also be a fellow who writes in the newspaper. If you will read in the newspaper the commentators who try to frighten the wits out of us. Like, if this is the way we're going to conduct ourselves, we're going to be in, I just heard it last week, this week. We are isolated internationally. This guy Netanyahu has caused that we are isolated internationally. The man knoweth not what he speaketh. I think that we've had more heads of state here in the last week than we had in any comparable week in any other government. We had Austria, Germany, Kofi is here. There was
Robin Cook.
We've had more people from, too many, of course. And I just heard this week I heard a commentator saying that we are in absolute isolation. We are in international quarantine. And everybody's coming, and everybody's talking. And the whole purpose is, Lema'an yecharfuni, le'yareoti, to cause us to be frightened. I mean, it's amazing, and people believe it. The wall was completed on the 25th day of Elul, in 52 days. It was one of the most successful and quickest construction jobs that was ever done in Yerushalayim. From that time on and further, there's no question about it. In 52 days, they completed the whole wall. They started on the fourth day of Av, Dalet Av, and 52 days later, on the 25th day of Elul. Is there something significant about the 25th day of Elul? What happened on the 25th day of Elul? Huh? Bereshis! The first day of creation was on the 25th of Elul. The Beis Hamikdash is in a sense a replica of creation. There are a lot. There happens to be a whole mimer from Nechama Leibowitz where she makes comparisons between Brias HaOlam and the construction of the Mishkan.
That on Friday, he said Yerushalayim is double, like a nine, Yadayim, Raglayim, it's two.
She has to quote my dear friend Mati Alon. How many times did Gold say that? How many tapes does he have? Inayim, Yadayim, Raglayim. Yerushalayim Shalmala, Yerushalayim Shalmata. So it doesn't have to do with what we're talking about. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
That's fine, you can say that. Something is fine.
Something, yeah. But now I was talking about Nechama Leibowitz, who says that the Mishkan was in a sense a miniature of the creation of the world. Similar words, Vayas Elokim, and God made, and God, and here it says Vayas, and you saw they made, they did, they created. The Kodesh HaKadoshim represents the heart. The various parts of the Beit HaMikdash represent different parts of the human organism. All right, another few psukim when we finished. Vayhi kasher shamu kol ha'yavenu, when all of our enemies heard. Vayiru kol ha'goyim asher svivotenu, vayiplu ma'od b'yeinehem. Vayiru, when the word, the Mepharshim say vayiru, means when all the nations around us saw it, vayiplu ma'od b'yeinehem. They fell in their own eyes. They were overwhelmed with a sense of despair. The Jews did it. They built the wall and we didn't stop them. Vayedim, they knew. They knew that this work was done b'siyata d'shmaya, the hand of God. And there are moments in history. I think the world was ready to say after the Six-Day War that this was the hand of God. Gam tayyamim ahem mardin chore Yehuda ikrosayim holchot al tovia bashel tovia poet aleim. He says even in those days, it's amazing. There were a lot of letters going back and forth between offices of Yehuda and Tovia. You know, there are all sorts of letters, and there are proposals, and there are further letters, and there are amendments. It's amazing. All of the diplomatic activity that's going on because Nehemiah built the walls of Yerushalayim. Ki Rabim b'Yehuda, And who are these Jews that he's talking about? This is the frightening thing of it all. Ki rabim b'Yehuda ba'alei shvua lo, because many of the Jews who lived in Yehuda were ba'alei shvua lo, had taken an oath. That means they were, of fealty, yes, they were in cahoots with him. Jews who are opposed to the construction of the wall. And not only because, in other words, they were allies, and everybody had something to get out of it. It could have been money, it could have been power, prestige, everybody had something going for it. And then there was another thing, Ki chatamhu l'shechanya ben Arach. There were also family connections. Tovia was a son-in-law to Shechanya ben Arach. And the Yehochanan beno and his son Yochanan lakachet bat Meshulam ben Berechia, had taken the daughter of Meshulam ben Berechia. All of these people are tied by ties of family, money, power, most probably hatred to Nehemiah. Gam tovosav hayu omnim lefanai udvarai hayu motziim lo. You know what they did? There were people who would come to Nehemiah and say good things about Tovia. Tovia is the, he's not Tovia, he's Ra'iya. He's not good, he's bad. And because they knew that they would be getting Nehemiah upset. Gam Tovotav, hayu omnim lefanai, they would say good things about him in my presence. Udvarai hayu motziim lo. I like the word over here. My words, hayu motziim lo. Now when it talks about him and they're saying it to Nehemiah, the word that's used is omrim. Dvarai, my words, hayu motziim, they would take out. Do you know what it means? I believe that it means that when Nehemiah spoke to people, he spoke to them in confidence. But there it was, the leaks. They were motziim. They took it out when they shouldn't have taken it out. Hayu motziim lo. Igro sholach Tovia Liareni, and Tovia sent all sorts of letters to frighten me. All sorts of diplomatic activity. But unfortunately for them, and fortunately for us, all the diplomatic activity is taking place after the walls have already been built. They have fallen to their eyes. They are frustrated, and whatever they're doing is an act of futility. Nehemiah has succeeded in what he wanted to accomplish. And they farginin emnisht. We did two chapters.
He didn't want to go into
political reasons.
And
religious reasons.
You're not allowed to. Now I use it as a
mikvah. That's right. Chag Sameach, everybody.